Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. You people in the board will have to help me to raise a little bit the volume. I spent long hours yesterday in counseling and talking, and long time I don't speak for 3 hours on the roll without stop, and I guess I don't have the voice of when I was young and the strength. During the month of February, we rightly saw, look in the scripture, on love. And last Sunday, we talked about the love of Christ. I want this Sunday to study with you the definition of love, because that's a very important factor in our life. We made statements, and I do like you, about love. We say we love chocolate. I don't know if you do so, but I do. And when I mean I love chocolate with passion, I can take a pound of chocolate as I talk with somebody and nothing happened. I used to eat a pound a day when I was young. We used to have a pound of chocolate between one game and in the next term of the game to get strength in our body. So chocolate is good. I love chocolate. Now, I love science magazines. Dr. McCormick has sent me from time to time and enrolled me in some nice medical magazines and so on. And I love science magazines. Some people love spicy food. I happened to eat with some members here in the church, and I saw a young lady really spicy their food. Well, they are Korean, so they like spicy food. And also, we hear the word, I love you. And of course, I tell my wife, I love you. All right? So each time I use that word, I use it differently. You have to be very careful how you use the word, I love you. We mean all kinds of different things when we talk about love. I certainly have a different level of commitment and attraction to my wife than to my science magazine. Don't you? It's a different attraction. But we use the same word. We say, I love science magazine. And if somebody says, you love your wife, I love my wife. But it's a different thing, one with the other. It's a different commitment. We say that God is love. So what do we mean when we say that God is love? So it's important that we look to a scripture this morning to get the idea of what really love means according to this book, the Bible. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to tell you that you can break that chapter in easily three sections, and we're going to study these three sections this morning. The first section is verses 1 to 3. Talks about the necessity of love. Now remember, this book was not written to a couple, so they learned to love each other. This is an entire different game. When you couples want to learn how to love each other, you read the Song of Solomon. I read it about 20 times before marriage. And I asked my wife to read it. It's just fantastic. You read the Song of Solomon. They teach you everything you need to know about love, wife and a man. But this chapter was written to a church. And in a minute, we'll look to that. So the necessity. Paul write to the church and speak the necessity of love. Verses 1 to 3. Then from verse 4 to 7, it talks about the character of love. What love really is. Entirely different of what philosophy think about it. What love really is. And then from verses 8 to 12, about the permanency of love, the stability of love. And so when we get that kind of love, then we have families in church with 55 years marriage, 60 years marriage, 49 years marriage, and so on. When you get that kind of love, then you got stability in a nation, in a family, in a neighborhood. So I tell you, we're going to work very hard. The people in the radio control, if they can give me 10 more minutes, I appreciate it. Tell the other pastor that we give him back $10 or something. All right, here we are. Number one, the necessity of love. The church to which Paul wrote this letter is expressed in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, Sosthenes was his assistant, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Corinth is a city, and he wrote to that city. So Paul originally wrote these words to a church that had all kinds of things going on for them. Look at verses 1 and 2 to the church. Now look at verse 4 and 5. Look at this, the church that Paul wrote the letter, the character of the church. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, so that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, that means a speech, and all knowledge. He wrote to a church who was loaded in a spiritual gift. Some people think the church of Corinth was weak. He got wrong idea. The church of Corinth was in a strong church. They have knowledge of what God is. They have knowledge of the Spirit of God. They were up for God in a mighty way. Nevertheless, there were groups that felt superior to one another in this church and tolerated all kinds of immorality in their lives and in the lives of other people. Let me show it to you in chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's very nasty when a church, when people in church, one believe this and the other believe the other, and the Bible supposed us to unite each other. And so this church was suffering. And look in verse 11, they get worse. For it has been declared or reported to me concerning you. What did they say? My brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say these, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. And so you can see that there were some problems, some serious problems in this church. One said, oh, I like Pastor Greg. Oh, I like Pastor Otero. Oh, I like deacons and so. I like those. And they were making cliches in the church. Oh, I follow Pastor Greg. Oh, I follow Pastor Otero. Oh, I follow this. Oh, I follow the other. A church with all the gifts, a church with all the potential to be the greatest church ever existed, had that kind of mess up within them. Not only that, look at in chapter 5. Go with me to chapter 5 in verse 1. When the church becomes rigid and intellectually want to be the number one, this chapter 5, 1, never fail. I see it today. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Of course, it was not his mother, but had his father's wife. So, what do you do with a church like that? I have been called in the East Coast many times by big churches to solve problems. But I never faced one like that. It's just amazing. I said to myself, the church needs something. This church who has all the potential, who had the Spirit of God, who were believers, said the Bible, and they have discrimination. This guy is better than the other, and this one is here, and this one is over there. And then they have immorality. The Bible sometimes means nothing to people. And let the old nature comes up. And you have to guard it with a canyon, with a tank, the old nature of ours. And what do you do in a church like this? What do you teach? What kind of theology do you teach? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 now. Here's what Paul thought will cure the church. Here's what Paul said will heal you and will heal me all kinds of problems. The church needs one thing. To these complicated and conflicted Christian church of Corinth, Paul wrote that we could have all kinds of religious experiences, but if we do not have love, we'd mean nothing. So I read very carefully chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Though I speak with the language of men and of angels, that means angels can speak the language, human language, but have no love, I have become like a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, serious, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, in other words, if I really top of my spiritual life, but I have no love, what he says? I'm nothing. And though, he said, now he's talking about money here, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have no love, profit me nothing. So I like this. The first thing the Apostle Paul is telling the church is very simple, and is one thing. Anything minus love equals zero. Let me give you a scripture then, an equation. Anything you have minus love equals zero. You can be a doctor, medical doctor. You can be an engineer. You can be a programmer. You can be a garbage collector. You can be anything you want to, but if you have no love, it's on to equal zero. Young people, when you're married, the key question is love. The love that we're going to see in a minute. But if there is no love, there is no marriage. If there is no love, there is no marriage. I cannot help it. Here is a church that was fundamental at the top level of Christianity. And you're going to see at the end how top they were. But they have problems within themselves. They have difficulty between one another. They have a shock between one another because Paul perceived, and God dictated to Paul, hey, there is an ingredient that is missing there. And that is love. All right, now then, let's look into the definition of love. This section that talks about the character of love, I think we need to give a very special attention so that your life and my life becomes transformed. So that you young people, before you say, I do, you secure that these ingredients of this chapter are in the other person's heart and in your heart. Otherwise, you're going to have difficulties. Your husband or your wife may have a top income. You may have the most gorgeous house ever. I have been called to mansions to talk to a couple in trouble where the money flows everywhere. They have no love. And so they were destroyed. So now, attention. The definition of love comes and it's going to hurt. It's like a surgeon. If you have no anesthesia, when a surgeon comes in, boy, you'll be screaming, you know, a lot. And here's what it is. The character of love. Paul doesn't let us guess what love is all about. He gets real concrete about expressing what love is. Are you ready? Because this is going to be heavy. Are you listening carefully? Stop driving. Put yourself on the side of the freeway. Because it's going to be heavy. You're going to see your shortcomings. I'm going to see my shortcomings. And you're going to see the possibilities of having. Some people say, well, that's hypothetical. No, sir. God doesn't write nothing hypothetical here. God does write this and give you the tools. Remember, we learned that? God give you the tools inside your body. God give you those receivers that need to be in tune so that you can operate. All right, here we go. The first definition, verse 4, here is where the love is patient. Love suffers long, said the King James Version. That is the word makrosume. Makro means long, long. How long? Long, long. How long? Long, long. Makro has a beginning but no end. And then you put makrosume. Sumo means the summary. You can't translate this. The best word that I have for translation is the word patient. No patient. Oh, if you do it again, I get to you. No. Patient. Patient. Love is patient. It gives you the ability to take in. If you say to your children, if you do it again, you have no patience. Your children will do it again and again and again. Your husband will do it again and again and again. Your wife will do it again and again and again. And you take in. Love is patient. Some people have asked in my office, when my husband will stop? When my wife will stop? When God is real in his life will stop? So you don't stop it. Let God stop it. That's what it is. Love is patient. The ability to take in. When you have love, you have the ability to take in. I have been teaching in college, in universities, and in high schools. And I tell you, with some students, you need to have patience. I have one time a person telling me, another professor saying, so-and-so will never learn. So I will never say that. It will take longer, but we'll learn. And I have cars of people who said, thank you for your patience. I taught in a Christian school who was very rigid. You know, those Christians who they think that the discipline, the rigidity is holiness. And the guy came in tennis shoes, and they don't let it in. And I have my class teaching Spanish in spatial geometry and so on. I want those keys to be really good. And I look on it, and he crossed the window. So I get out and say, what happened to you? He said, well, they don't let me in because I had no shoes. I know they came from a poor family. So I don't teach the class today. You and I go to the store. We bought the shoes. The next day, he was in class. I never missed that student ever. Never. He was the son of a policeman. His father came to the school and said, I don't know what to say. I'm ashamed that I do not bought for my son's shoes. We just hug each other. See, love will conquer anything. Love, your children can do something really, really wrong. What do you do if your girl comes pregnant to your home? Just love it. Just love it. What do you do if your son says, I'm a homosexual? You just love it. Just love it. Because your love will change his mind in the right direction. Love suffers long. Suffers long. I like that King James translation. It's not easy to have patience. Know it? All right. Next one. Look at here. Love does not envy. The ability to give. You give without distinction, without measuring. The ability to give. Love does not envy. That's not envy. The ability to give. Is that good? Look at verse 4. what I said. It's amazing. Love does not parade himself. The ability to work with others. Those professionals, have you worked with professionals like you? And everybody likes to be on top of you so that he can get the promotion. You know that? I knew that. And so I work with professionals, and always I serve them. I even came early in the morning to make coffee for them. And I said, so-and-so, the janitor, came early today? Yeah, I said. And one day, one of them came early to find out what's going on, because the janitor came later. Oh, you are making the coffee. Yeah, I know you people like coffee. So I make the coffee. At least I do something good for you. And I tell you, that makes a difference of the world. The ability to work with others. See, love doesn't think too much about you. You don't think too much about the others. When you have love, you don't feel superior to others. All right? It's not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. Love isn't above me. It's the ability to appreciate. Love is not talking about me, how great I am and how wonderful I am. God is about the other. Can you imagine that in marriage? That the husband think always in his wife. And his wife think always in him. Can you imagine a marriage like that? That's what love is. It's not puffed up. It's not, I'm not important. The other person is important. More important than me. And so I'm going to make that person happy. Sometimes, from time to time, in our conversation in counseling, people said, well, my husband think I'm a servant. Well, I said, you know, if I want to pattern women as I grow up, my grandma was a servant. She served the house. I never heard a complaint from grandma. But she was honored by her husband and by all my uncles. She was honored by my neighbors. When she died, my neighbors carried the coffin in their hand to the cemetery. Because they can't believe that Doña Teresa, who hold all the food in a little basket on the head, you know, like the Arabs do, tried to do it. It's very hard. You get a big basket, put everything on it, and you walk on it. And I tried to push my grandma, see the whole thing gone down. It never came down. She said, come on, stop it. And they had such ability. But she will get the food, knock the door, and said, I cooked yesterday this. This is for you. She did it so that people can listen to the gospel. She died. Nobody believed. I was in America, 5 years in America, and I received a long letter from my neighbor. I know what your grandmother means. Now I have Christ in my heart. See, it is not about me. Love is not about me. It's about the other. All right, verse 5. Does not behave rudely. Love is not rude. The ability to avoid foul language. Very important. Ladies, carefully think before you talk to your husband what you say. Husband, carefully think. Before you talk to your wife, what are you going to say? Because that's the love of your life. People, carefully think what are you going to say when you talk to your children, because these are the fruit of your love. Amazing. Verse 5. Does it not behave rudely? Does not seek it is own. Love is a dialogue, not a monologue, the ability of concern to listen, the ability to listen, the ability to say, what do you want to say, darling? The ability to say, all right, go ahead, come in and talk to. My daughter knew always I was busy, but I taught her, I'm never too busy for you. And so it was common when she was in the School of Medicine at 2 o'clock in the morning calling from David University and said, "Dad, I'm looking for this physic reaction. Let me see. I'll get some water in my face and tell me about it." And then it's, "Oh, here is what you have to look in this book and the other." I never complained about it. I never felt that I need to complain. It is my daughter. It is my daughter. Oh, boy. There's no secretive son. It is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Love gives the benefit of the doubt to the other person. All right? The ability to respond positively. Sometimes people come to you with need, and you know what that person needs, but you don't know how to communicate it, so that person triggers. And so the only thing for me as a pastor is to have a lot of patience and to say, "Okay, I wait until that person sees the way." And I wait with great hope. Some people are so locked into something that they cannot move. And so my idea is not to judge the person. I know exactly what that person said. But if I tell what to do, I know will not do it because there's no yet there. So I have patience. I have patience. Raquel and I brought one boy that used to come here to the court. Boy going to be placed in jail. So I said, the best way is you just get your Bible, go to see your parole officer, go in front of the court, and talk to him. And now the court has a trick. You come here. He said, "I have no car." "Well, you get a car and come here." Now he get a car without license and go over there. He goes to jail for that. I know they were on the trick to get him. So I said, "My wife and I will drive you over there. And we will wait in the car for you back. Pastor, I never see light again." "No, no, you will be back." So the judge stood up and said, "And how you draw here?" See, the trick question. And this Americano said, "What is it? Do you draw?" "No, sir, my pastor did." The judge left the court and came to the door to the parking lot. So I got up and I greet him. He said, "Are you Pastor Otero?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I learned something." He said to the boy, "Get out of here. I tell you, love conquers a rock and breaks everything." When are we going to learn that? Paul is not judging this church for the immorality. Paul is not putting these people down because of that. He's giving some clues here. Verse 5. It's just amazing. It's not provoked. Love is not evil. It's not a monologue. It is something that you communicate one with the other. Give the benefit of the doubt to the other person. Love is not inflammable. See, it's not provoked. It's not inflammable. The ability to consider others. Have you ever lost something and you look for, and you and your wife and your children are there? What is the first thing you say? You say, "Where do you put it?" At least I will do that. Raquel sometimes said, "Gabriel, where do you put it?" And I smile because I don't touch it. Should I respond back saying, "No, I don't touch it"? Then you, it's my wife. It's the one that's going to sleep in the night and I'm going to touch it. And say, "Hi, my darling, hey, come on. How are you going to do that?" So all of these go through your mind. See, love is not provoked. Isn't it amazing what God said? It's just amazing. Thinks no evil. It's just amazing. Amazing. The ability to consider others. You don't blast like that. Have you been on the freeway? I enjoy driving the freeway a long time. Because when you drive, you see people. I watch people. I guess I never lost my mind at watching, analyzing people. I look on it and I know this guy's going to be in trouble. So I follow. And very soon, he's going to stop. And he goes, "Yeah!" He goes like that. If you go to San Francisco, you see it more. It's just amazing. Inflammable. They have no love. People say, "Why do they do that?" "Oh, because their great-great-grandfather had..." No, it's because I had no love. Imagine each time we sing God is inflammable. We will be dead. All right, verse 6, it is getting heavy. Verse 6, look at what they said. "Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." In other words, love have the right motives, the ability to express joy. Love doesn't say, oh, I told you you are wrong. Love says, try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Amazing. Verse 7. Love put up with each other. Look at verse 7. Bears all things. The ability to endure offenses. Love put up with each other. Verse 7. Again. Believes all things. The ability to trust until proven wrong. Believes all things. I was called, you know, when they call you to be in court as a jury and so on. And I thought, well, I hope they don't get my number. They got my number. I hope now I know in the jury, they got in the jury, I was number one. And the judge stood up and said, here are the instructions. First, I got a paper who said, you hear only the truth and you this and that. You've been there, blah, 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 sign this. Then the judge said, and I want to tell you what this is, this and the other. And I look at it. I write shorthand. So I wrote everything he said. I look at it. Anybody have an objection? Say, yes, sir. Your Honor, you are contradicting yourself. Oh, boy, you have to see the lawyers over there. The defendant was so happy. He just smiled. Said, I like this guy. And he said, you give us a paper who said that we judge according to facts. Now you and your speech in page, in line number 7, you said that you will tell us what the facts are. Well, do we judge by the facts we see, or do we judge by the facts you tell me? And if we judge by the facts you tell me, then it's not the facts of the case. And it's my mind is not on it, it's your mind. How much of your mind I take it, and how much of my mind I take it? He said, well, you don't understand. No, I do understand. Oh, okay, sit down. When the moment comes to the selection, the prosecutor said, I want number one out of here. I said, oh, sorry about it. I'm going to have fun. But this is very important. See, believes all things. Hope all things. Look at verse 7. Love, hope all things. The ability to trust others until proven wrong. Love, look at verse 7. It's just loaded. Endures all things. The ability to commitment. Ah, that's what it is. Some people said, I have it. Hey, you have no love. No, so you have it, and you have no love. The ability to commitment. And Paul is telling this church, when you commit to each other, then there is no end. When you are on the court or in the church, and you say, I do. And I had two people to be married, and I wrote 7 pages to them that they had to answer to me. And Maria told me, boy, this is a hard work. Yeah, it is a hard work, because Mary is a hard work, don't we? So the boy will have to be, and he told me, Silas said, well, Pastor, I never thought in this. What, Silas, keep on. Answer those questions. Because there is commitment. It's not just how nice are you. The commitment is when the things go nasty. What do? You stay on. You stay on. Imagine a pilot. You know how to fly, you know, a pilot. Get into a cloud. He thought the cloud has so much weight, and the cloud is a little heavy. And now you measure the heaviness of the cloud against the heaviness of the plane, and you know, quickly adjusted the plane, and the plane shake it. And suppose that he says, oh, this is too nasty. The weather is bad. Then he goes back and leave the plane. That's what people do when they divorce. When the thing get nasty, they leave the plane. The pilot. You, when the thing get nasty and the weather is tough, you want the pilot right there on the wheel, measuring and calculating and knowing what to do and so on. And thank God for computers today that help the pilots to get out of trouble. The only computer God wrote is this one. This is the computer. This will get you out of trouble. They put you the word commitment. Now, what do you think? Is love heavy? This is no Hollywood, all right? This is, the whole church will be cured. When he writes the second letter to the church, he said, how great you are. The church accepted that. Now look at, now comes the permanency of love. Verse 8, love never fails. Now it's not my opinion. It's not Bethel church opinion. It's God's opinion. If you practice the law from verse 4 to 7, never fails. 37 years in the pastorship, and I tell you, at my counseling table, radio, and church, nobody came and said, I'm going to divorce my husband, I'm going to divorce my wife because he loved me too much. Nobody said that. Never fails. Never fails. Love never fails it. And then he has a bunch of theology here. Look at. But whatever they are prophecy, they will fail. Whatever they are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. This is theology. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also know. In other words, he gave a bunch of theological aspects. All of these theologies are there. Yes, all this theology is right here. But love never fails. He spoke like a Greek. First he tell you the statement, then he explained it. The Hebrews will explain it, and then he tell the statement. He spoke like a Greek, and he said, love never fails. And look at all this theology. Look at this greatness of the Spirit in the hearts of people. But love never fails. And so in verse 13, he gave us the meaning of love. Look at what he says. And now abide this faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. What is love? Love is a lifestyle. Love is a lifestyle. How do I get to that love? Romans 5:5 said that the love of God was shed in our heart by the Spirit of God. How do I get the Spirit of God? Ephesians 1:13 said, and when we hear the word, and then when we believe the word, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so here you have the mechanism. You cannot get this love in the pharmacy by a drug. You cannot get this love in a university by a philosophy teaching. This love needs to penetrate your life. And there's only one teacher, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to come and zero in inside. And the only way to zero in you is when you hear the gospel, you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God, without you doing any move, the Bible said in Ephesians 1:13, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. And within this Holy Spirit, it is nine beautiful fruit of Galatians 5:21-23. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Without love, you are zero. You can be a professor of theology. You can be a doctor in theology. But if you have no love, you and I are zero. So what God is saying today is, if you are a believer, no excuse to love. You got it all wrong. If you're a theologian, you are this and the other, you got it all wrong. You need to have love. If you're an unbeliever, what you need to do is you need to have Jesus. And when Jesus comes into your heart, not only he comes with a package. And the package is the Holy Spirit. And when people have the Holy Spirit, they are different people. Some people say, well, how the Christian should behave? Don't ask me. Ask God. He gives you the Holy Spirit. When you have no Holy Spirit, you are dead. You're dead. I learned it myself. You can study, you can be a professor, you can explain things, but to leave these things is only by the Spirit of God. May you and I learn the lesson. Learn the lesson that if we get God's love, then things not only going to be better, it's going to be gracious. When January 20 came, I looked to Raquel, and I said, I can't believe it. I'm with you for 49 years, and I'm not complaining. We both have a lot of things to complain of each other. We will not complain. We just will love. Let's pray. Gracious God, We thank you that you love us the way these words in the First Corinthians tell us. We thank you that you are about to work in our lives that kind of love, to make us like you, to love others like you love us. Oh, grant unto us the gift of love through the Spirit, so that people may know by our love that we belong to you. In the precious name of Jesus, our lover, we pray. Amen.
You have my heart, and I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of grace and power. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. Can't understand. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love. And you never change, God. You remain the Holy One. My unfailing love. Unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and God, I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love. And you never change, God. You remain the Holy One. My unfailing love, unfailing love. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. Still I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love. And you never change, God. You remain the Holy One. My unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love, unfailing love.
Amen.
Help us to try it, to renew our life with that statement. Love never fails. Love toward the husband, love toward the wife, love toward the children, love to my neighbors, to my friends, to my family. Love never fails.
Thank you for the formula. Cause us to honor you because you are waiting to honor us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.